One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Instead of accepting that this part of you is bad or ugly or not perfect and not right enough, ask yourself, who did you learn that from? And how much money do they make by convincing you it's true? Ugh. If I could punch every person, I would. What's up, you guys, and welcome back to Emotionally Online, the weekly summer party for spilling guts and sharing secrets, hosted by yours truly, the one and only Maddie Drosbeck. And this episode might seem like I am, you know, just the same Maddie as usual, sitting here on the couch, but what you don't know, and what you should know, is that I'm actually doing this episode live from the ICU, which is the introvert care unit. I have been sentenced here, prescribed a stay here, by my best friend, who also happens to have a degree in Maddie Wellness, which is basically just a degree that you acquire when I believe that you know what's best for me, and you can tell me what's best for me. So Ashley told me that I needed desperately some ICU time. And she's so right. This introvert needed some time in the ICU. I think I've been so social lately. It's all like good things, right? I'm saying yes to so many fun social opportunities. I think it's been good for me to be social recently, just given the state of things in my life. It's been nice to be surrounded by people I love and, you know, just keeping myself busy. But I'm definitely feeling a little socially burnt out right now. I've said this before. I would love to just disappear from everybody's minds for like a long weekend, like 72 hours. To me, it's not even just being alone and having alone time that really satisfies the urge. I don't want anyone to reach out to me. I don't want anyone to even think of me or remember that I exist. I don't want any like work things to pop up. Like, I don't want anyone to need anything from me at all. I don't want my existence to be like even a momentary thought for at least a long weekend. I want to be completely alone as if I never existed. That is the kind of solace, of comfort that I am seeking in this life, particularly right now, because woo-wee! Something kind of crazy happened this week that I've been dying to tell you guys because I feel like I personally manifested it. So you guys know that I am absolutely overflowing with different ideas, concepts, fantasies for different corn videos, corn films that I would like to see in the world, really. And I have so many ideas and concepts. I've talked about the Uber pool fantasy in the past. I've never been able to find such a fantasy produced on film for me, catering to my specific desires. Now, recently, I had a new idea, a new fantasy that I've just been simmering in inside my brain, which takes place at a nude figure drawing painting class, because I think that it would just be the sexiest, most erotic thing to have this moment be conjured up between some horny art students and a beautiful, like, Renaissance art looking model, and just have it be the catalyst for this very sensual exhibitionist type hookup for the class, for an audience. Oh, it could just be so good, you guys. Well, I am pleased to report that I am not the only one that has thought of this fantasy. It was truly one of the peak moments of my life over the last year to discover that this concept has already been made and it is on Cheeks and it is so fucking good. Cheeks is like this new sexual empowerment platform that I've been trying out and absolutely loving, quickly loving after discovering this film, which is called Muse. If any of you guys want to check it out, you can watch it for free when you use my code Maddie. Gets you a 7-day free trial, so you can check it out. It is a very good film, if I do say so myself. So needless to say, I have been hooked on Cheeks, consuming my corn content through Cheeks since I discovered their platform. There have been so many different role plays and scenarios that I have found on their platform that I've absolutely loved. Feels like it was ripped out of my own brain, playing to all of my specific fantasies, which is something I think that more people should do. Yes, more people should cater to Maddie Drosbeck's specific fantasies. They have a ton of ethically made adult films over on Cheeks, as well as some spicy audios and educational content as well. So there's a range of stuff for you to indulge in, which you can feel good indulging in, because Cheeks makes it of the utmost importance that all the films they're producing are based on fair pay, legal and ethical working conditions, which only results in more authentic, diverse and consensual pleasurable sex for all of us to enjoy watching. So anyways, if you're interested in checking out this film, Muse, and seeing what else Cheeks has to offer, if they could perhaps be your pleasure platform of choice, you can head to the link in the description of this episode and use code Maddie for a free 7-day free trial to test out Cheeks and see what it is that I'm talking about. I want to do like a longer YouTube video about this one topic specifically, but I've chatted it up with quite a few of my friends and trusted, esteemed colleagues recently about how I feel like I feel this way, and I know a lot of other people that feel this way, where it's like right now in this era that we're in, I feel like my confidence is like lower than it has been throughout my entire adult existence. Not quite as low as the lowest I've ever been when I was, you know, a teen before I had really like come into myself. I feel like I have enough of like stability in my life, enough of like, I don't know, like a big sister attitude towards myself when insecurities pop up or when I start feeling shitty. Like, I feel like I'm pretty good at navigating those emotions and sitting with them in a way that I wasn't when I was younger. So even on my worst self-confidence days, they're always going to be better than they were before I was at the place I am emotionally now, if that makes sense. But lately, I feel like it's been tough. It's been fucking hard. Can we say that? Can we say it's been hard out here to have some fucking good self-esteem going on? I feel like I'm being bombarded on social media with so much absolute bullshit. So much. I feel like I'm back in the early 2000s, to be totally fucking honest with you. The shit that I'm seeing, I've had to take multiple moments to sit back and look at it and be like, okay, I haven't seen somebody boldly and confidently say something so blatantly fatphobic on the internet in years. And maybe I've just been in my little bubble and my algorithms have been curated to a point where I don't see a lot of it. But it's been bad recently. It's been really fucking bad. And I think this was already something that we were seeing more and more of within like plastic surgery conversations online and the type of content that people make promoting and talking about plastic surgeries, which I've talked about my opinions before. I tend to be more like anti-plastic surgery, but I'll put myself more like anti-middle. Like I'm somewhere in between the middle and anti, because I have conflicting feelings about it, because I believe in people's bodily autonomy and getting to make their own choices for themselves. I think being completely anti could go down a slippery slope in terms of like telling people what to do with their bodies. But similarly, I feel like being completely pro plastic surgery is a slippery slope of its own, which I completely disagree with. And I almost, it's interesting to me how some people seem to struggle with understanding that like they don't exist in a black hole. And I personally have a problem with people always positioning plastic surgery as like, I'm just doing this because it would make me feel more confident to be like this. It has nothing to do with any beauty standards or what I think I'm supposed to look like. It's just my personal preference. And I'm like, okay, but that's not like, it's just, we don't live in a black hole. You don't exist in a world where you were born hating this part of yourself. You were taught to hate this part of yourself. And I just believe that if we want to see real change, moving forward and also within ourselves, that the first thing we need to be doing is digging into why it is that we feel the way that we feel, instead of just being like, I hate this thing and I want to change it. But on the other hand, this is why I say I have such conflicting thoughts about it, because I have like, while I just said what I said, I do think it's important to like question yourself and be like, why do I feel this way? What made me feel this way? Like, what have I learned that I've internalized as a truth that has pushed me to feel this way about my body, and how can I help myself to feel better without changing myself? I think those are like good questions to ask yourself. With that being said, do I believe that every person should have to dedicate their life to constantly fighting their own brain against beauty standards that are being drilled into us? No. I like recognize that not everybody wants to or emotionally has it in them to be in like a constant fight with themselves to feel like they like themselves, like they like the person that's looking back at them in the mirror. So while it feels important to me personally, I also have empathy for people that like don't want to do that, right? Because to me, it feels absurdly important that I fight back against that like line of thinking. When I start to consume too much content on social media and I start to think things about myself and my own appearance, it's important for me when those thoughts pop up inside my head to stop myself and ask myself, okay, where did this come from? Why are you thinking this? Like, what about the content you're consuming and the world that you live in made you believe that this was a truth that you should now internalize? And how can we like push back against this and help you to feel better and more confident as you are today, because you deserve to feel that way? That's important to me. I also feel like maybe I'm just more anti-plastic surgery because of the like women I grew up around. I feel like I grew up around a lot of women that were very critical about their appearance, my mom being one of them. And my mom's like the most beautiful person on earth and always has been to me. And she is so mean to herself, as were a lot of the adult women that I looked up to as a teenager and as a tween. And this really impacted my self-esteem growing up. I think having to listen to the most beautiful people in the world talk poorly about themselves and talk about all the things that they need to change within themselves in order to be beautiful, it's hard not to like internalize that, especially when they're women that kind of like look like you. Like, that's my fucking mom. I look like her at least a little bit, you know, like I definitely got my dad's genes for the most part, but it's hard when like relatives and family members, girls and women that you look up to as a kid, anyone, hearing them talk about all the things they need to change about themselves when you think that they are beautiful, you start to look at them and be like, well, what is it that I'm getting wrong? Like, is there something wrong with me? And you start to like turn it inwards. And I think part of my like healing journey and getting to a place where I feel more comfortable and confident in myself, a lot of it has come from me learning to question those beliefs and those thoughts. So the fact that I'm seeing more and more of this type of content appear on social media that seems to be like, don't question those thoughts, just go ahead and get a several $1,000 surgery to change your appearance. I'm like, that, I have a issue with this. I do. And I don't feel that it should be controversial that I have an issue with this. It stresses me out. It really does, because I remember what it was like in the early 2000s and how terrible of a time it was for body image then. And I felt like in the last handful of years, from like 2014, let's call it, to now, in the last 10 years, I can't believe it's been a decade since 2014. That just threw me for a loop. I was like, the past few years, and then I said 2014. It's been a fucking decade. That's crazy. Anyways. In the last decade, I feel like we made a lot of really nice progress in terms of body image and how it's talked about on social media. Also just like within plus size communities and how like the fight to have more plus size representation in brands and TV and movies and modeling. Like, I feel like there was a lot of really amazing movement that happened over the last 10 years. It started to feel like a world that was kinder to plus size people than the one that I grew up in. And then over the last year, there has been a shift in the opposite fucking direction. And I don't know what to do. I don't know what we need to be doing. I know that I feel like shit and it's impacting me. And my algorithms are making me constantly second guess myself. And so I'm struggling with that internally. And I'm also understanding the platform that I have and the power that I have as a creative person to make something meaningful, to do something to help people feel better through this time, or to like contribute something more positive to the pot. That's also on my mind, where I'm like, okay, I'm trying to like pull myself out of the trenches because my brain is telling me not nice things and my confidence feels pretty low right now. But at the same time, I'm like, okay, but we got to get out there and we got to fucking do something, bitch, because we can't go back to the early 2000s. As much as I love the early 2000s, okay? We know that I'm an early 2000s lover and a fan, okay? But mostly for like the culture and the media and like the gag of it all. You know, I don't really want to go back there. I thought we were making some great progress. And Charlie XCX was about to revive pop music. Charlie XCX is actively reviving pop music. Like, we were doing so good, guys. We don't need to go back to the fat phobia that existed in the early 2000s. We were past that. We can be better. We can do better. Doesn't seem like we're doing better these days. I see so many chin liposuction videos. I've said before that I block every person I see that makes a video talking about chin liposuction. I fucking can't. It's like the algorithm knows that I block everyone that makes videos like that. So like, would she like to see another one? Like, no, bitch, I don't. I block those people. I don't want any of their content on my feed. And also, it's like, then you start consuming content from people that you aren't aware have had work done, and you start comparing yourself to them, not knowing that they've had work done. I have so many criticisms. It really makes my head hurt. And I do feel very conflicted about all of it. It's not like a black or white thing. Nothing ever is, as we know. But oy vey, it's been hard recently, and I am struggling with my self-confidence in a way that I haven't in a long time. And it's nice that I have the foundation built that I have now, where I know how to tend to myself, I guess, in eras like this, but it's hard. It hasn't been. I think I've had like bad days, you know, low self-confidence days, maybe a handful of days for the last few years. I haven't had like a bad self-confidence week or bad self-confidence few weeks, or dare I say a bad self-confidence month, in years since pre-pandemic. It just hasn't been an issue for me really until quite recently. And I'm ready, willing, able, and eager to blame the like big shift in fat phobia, the huge increase in fat phobia that I have noticed over the last year. And I think it's hitting me now because I'm in a fragile state. I am more prone to negative self-talk right now than I maybe would be normally. I don't know. It's a topic I would like to dive deeper into for like a YouTube video. Making something like a little, I want to make something creative with it. I was thinking about writing like a little script for it. Doing like something a little bit more creative. Uses my film degree a little bit more. Seeing what we can come up with. So we'll see. We'll see what I come up with there. My focus is more on like people in positions of influence and power, celebrities, influencers, people with platforms promoting different kinds of plastic surgery and normalizing it as if it's something that like is just a part of being a woman. You get to a certain age and you start getting Botox, of course, and lip filler, of course, and then you're going to get a nose job and a boob job. And I literally feel like I'm back in 2006. I don't know. It's like you start to be so consumed by this type of content. It's everywhere. It makes you feel like you have to change yourself because of all of this. And almost like you start to feel like you stand out if you are not gonna take those paths. I think it feels important to me. It gives me purpose to be able to contribute something that makes people feel good, even if it's just a few people that walk away from it feeling a little bit of relief, and a little bit more like able to show up for themselves that day, and you know, a little bit more energy to push back and fight back against those thoughts and feelings, to ask yourself like, why am I thinking this? Why am I feeling this? Where did these thoughts and feelings come from? Are they rooted in truth? Was I taught this? Like, let's not forget that the diet industry, that these huge plastic surgery procedures, cosmetic procedures in general, these are industries that are full of money, just fucking overflowing with money. These are billion-dollar industries we're talking here. They make so much money to keep you hating yourself. Instead of accepting that this part of you is bad or ugly or not perfect and not right enough, ask yourself, who did you learn that from? And how much money do they make by convincing you it's true? Ugh. If I could punch every person, I would. It really just gets me so fired up because I know and grew up around so many beautiful, powerful, unstoppable women that have, you know, fallen victim to these industries that make money off you hating yourself. And it hurts my heart. And it feels important for me to push back against that within myself and to also try to help other people do the same. Because it feels wrong to me to accept that this is just like a part of life now. I can't do it. I cannot. I cannot and I will not. Guys, I have such bad news for you. I'm really not to kick this episode off on a down note, but I would give anything to have an Emily update for you. But there is no Emily update. I have received no update on Miss Emily. I know. We were hoping for more. We got in there. We analyzed the juice. We savored it. We took little sips. We had a little tasting of the juice. And we were given no second course. No refills. No free refills, at least. I've heard nothing about the Emily story, Emily saga. Nothing at all. It's possible that I have missed it, but I haven't seen anything. I will say, Emily, I'm still open to hearing your side. I'm still open to hearing more of what's gone on. The person that submitted it, if you want to give us more info, I welcome it. Obviously, you don't have to do anything you don't want to do, but I'm having a good time with all of this. If you're DMing me on Instagram, it's possible that I will miss it. Instagram filters out a lot of my DM requests and puts them in a folder that I can't see. And even that, they are never in order. And so sometimes I might see it when I'm doing something and then I'll be like, oh, I'll go back and open that later. And then it goes away and I'll never find it again. So it's easier if you submit to the show's submission box, because I read every single submission that comes through to the box. So if you'd like to update, if you'd like to have the floor, use the audience submission box for the show. You could DM me on Instagram. It's possible I'll see it, but it's also very possible that I will not see it because everything gets drowned out and I don't read through all my DMs because my DMs scare me sometimes. Okay, additional little show update at the top here. The Lover Girls Worldwide playlist, which can I just freaking say, you guys, we've like knocked it out of the park with that one. I listen to it all the time and it really is the perfect vibe. I throw it on and I'm like, we're chilling and we're vibing and I'm feeling so much happier now that I'm listening to Baby I'ma Want You by Bread. I just fucking am. And I feel like we smashed it out of the park. So let's continue smashing it out of the park. I'm going to make a submission box for the playlist. So it has like a home of its own. And every few weeks I will go through that box and add in some new songs. So this can be a constantly evolving playlist. The link to the Lover Girls Worldwide playlist will be in the description of every podcast episode from now on. It will also be, the submission box will be linked in the Spotify playlist description. So if you go to the Lover Girls Worldwide playlist, click on it, there will be a submission link in the description of that playlist if you would like to submit some more Lover Girls Worldwide song submissions. The question for that playlist is, of course, what song sounds like falling in love to you? So if you're submitting breakup songs, I will not put them on the playlist. This one is a happy playlist. But you know what, guys? Now that I know that collaboratively we're working really well together, I think there's so much more we can create, so much more to this world that we can build upon as a group. So just stay tuned, because maybe one of these days we will make a breakup playlist. But you know, I think the yearning playlist has to come next, because that's a whole different fucking category. We need the falling in love playlist, check. Then we need the yearning playlist. We need the breakup playlist. We need the, like, there's so many different playlists that we can make, you guys. We can make a whole universe that's going on here. Speaking of universes, speaking of the Lovers International universe, in last week's episode, we got into the topic of, you know, the potential nomination of board members for Lovers International, right? Because this is a huge conglomerate enterprise. There's lots of business transactions going on here, and we need the right people in charge and the higher ups. Of course, I have assumed the CEO position as the inventor of all of this. But, you know, it takes a village, as we know, and we've got to get plenty of other lovers in the building. So we were specifically talking about the Lover Boys Worldwide section, if you will, of Lovers International, because we really needed to restructure the leadership over there. We needed someone in charge, because it seemed like there was no one in charge. So we got some really great suggestions for possible board members of Lovers International. You guys jogged my memory on some people that I absolutely would have said. We gotta get you guys on the mic, okay? The number one submission that I saw in my DMs, in the submission box, in the comment section of that episode was Hozier. I don't know how you say his name. This is where you guys are going to find out that I don't know a single thing about that man. I'm sorry. I don't know who that man is. I do. I've never listened to any of his music beyond like the little clips I've heard on Instagram and TikTok, though. To be honest, it's just not my kind of music. It's a little too, you know, cabin in the woods for me. And I'm a girl that loves plumbing, as we know. I just didn't think about him at all, because I don't think about him at all. But I've heard good things. I'm not judging. I'm simply ignorant, okay? I know nothing about that man. But he came highly recommended, so we will for sure consider him for, you know, some higher up board position. Another nomination that I saw that I was like, oh, okay, here are the ones that I was like, I should have said that. First of all, Julian Solomita. I should have said that. I should have said Julian Solomita. Thank God one of you guys did, because you're so right for that. Julian Solomita was the perfect submission, and I completely agree. Another one that I agree with, I'm also going to butcher his name because I do not know how you say it, but I'm going to say it how I think you say it. Mark Rebier? Oh, is it Rubier? Hold on.
Here we go. Mark Rebier. How did I do?
Wait, that's what I said, but is that the truth? Right? Because I said Rebier, but then somebody else is saying Rubier. I need to find a video where he introduces himself. This is what I always try to do before I start speaking on the podcast, but I didn't do that this week. Get the fuck out of bed, bitch. Go.
Today, we are with the multi-talented artist, dynamic performer, loop daddy himself, Mark Rebier.
Okay, Rebier, it seems. Okay. I was close. I said Rebier. I think the important part was that I knew that the L's were silent. As a girl with silent letters in my name. Anybody that says drags back, get the hell out of here. What the hell? I only say it at the beginning of every single one of these podcast episodes. Anyways, he was thrown out there, which, again, loved that one. Felt really good about that. Stanley Tucci was another one. Cody Ko, hugely behind those ones. Then we've got some that I feel like neither here nor there about because I don't think I know enough about them. Keanu Reeves, Tom Holland, which actually I do like because he seems like a sweetie pie. Kevin Jonas, which, yeah, for sure Kevin Jonas has got to be on there. I remember watching that show. It was like, was it just called Jonas or was it? No. It was called like Living with Jonas or something. It was on E and it was Kevin and his wife. It was like one season and his wife did not want this show to exist. I felt like the whole show was her being like, I actually don't want to be on camera and living like such a public life. This was in like 2011, maybe. Living with Jonas. I remember watching this whole thing though. It was so boring. Living with Jonas. Married to Jonas is what it was called. It was two seasons? What the fuck? How did they get a second season? But I guess they did have two seasons. And it was on E and it was 2012. Okay, I was close. Yeah, it was really fucking bad though. And I guess Frankie Jonas was a recurring character. And none of... Oh, no. Joe and Nick were too. I was about to be like, well, none of the other Jonas Brothers were. Just Frank? Just my bonus Joe? Crazy. I'll never forget the time I ran into him at the pool. Who was I talking to about this? I was talking about celebrities that I've ran into while I've lived in New York, which the list is pretty slim, to be honest with you. I had dinner next to Adam Sandler once, and it was like a small restaurant with like two-seater tables. So I was like, I could reach over and touch his table level close to having dinner next to Adam Sandler in like 2016. And then obviously I met Lady Gaga, but that was like, she tweeted being like, I'm here, come find me. And I was like, yes, ma'am. And then I saw Frankie, the bonus Jonas at the pool two summers ago. And then the other weekend I was at a speakeasy with one of my friends and Victoria Pedretti came and sat like right next to us. And I was like, that's crazy. That's Victoria Pedretti. But I feel like I'm sure I'm forgetting and there's definitely been more, but those were the big ones. I've walked past people on the street before. Like I've walked past Jerry Seinfeld before. I don't know. I guess that's it. Adam Sandler was the big one though. That was the coolest one for sure, was getting to eat dinner next to Adam Sandler. But everyone else, whatever. I had to literally, when I was at the pool trying to figure out if that was the bonus Jonas or not, I was Googling his tattoos being like, I'm pretty sure that's Frankie Jonas, but it was. Heath Ledger, Robin Williams, Pedro Pascal, Conan Gray. These are all great, worthy nominations. So those are some of the nominations that we got. And you know what? I say keep them coming. Let's keep those nominations rolling in. If you, anybody you know, anybody worthy of a title within Lovers International, just throw them out there. We got to get everybody's name out there. It's time to start campaigning for your favorite lovers of the world and, you know, making sure they get on the board for Lovers International because we're in desperate need of leadership around here. All right. Godspeed. let's get into these audience submissions because there is quite a few of them. As always, there is an audience submission box for the show where you can submit anything and everything. Requests for advice, stories, am I the assholes, anything that's going on, topic requests, anything you'd like me to chime in on, you throw it in that box and we will maybe talk about it here on the show. Hello, Maddie. Huge fan of you and everything you stand for. My story is this. The guy I'm currently sleeping with / casually dating one time pulled out his guitar and played a song for me, which of course was awkward, but I tried to look as flattered and interested as my autistic ass could manage. Anyways, as soon as it was over, he felt the need to look me in the eye and clarify that he had initially written the song for someone else and just swapped our names out since they both have two syllables, which is such a hilarious thing to say out loud to the woman you are currently sleeping with that I couldn't even be that upset. We also watched the Barbie movie together and he didn't understand the joke about all the Kens playing their guitars of the Barbies who pretend to enjoy it. So I had to be like, I guess the joke is that a lot of guys play guitar for girls, and he was deeply hurt by it. Anyways, Maddie, please give me the serenity to dump this man, the courage to dump this man, and the wisdom to dump this man. Love and light. Oh, jeez. I mean, that's really bad and also really fucking funny. Like, just imagine trying to woo someone. You're interested in them. You're fucking. And you're like, you know what would really impress them, woo them, make them want me and think I'm sexy? If I sing them a little song. But you know what? Let me shit on my own act for a second. Let me just steamroll over anything remotely sweet that I'm doing right now by saying that I wrote this song for someone else and just swapped in their name. My thing is, like, I can find anything. Anything cringe is endearing to me if I like the person. If I don't like the person, it's a different story. But I've said before, I think cringe is a good thing. And I think, I don't know, the guitar playing doesn't personally bother me. If I liked the person, I'd be like, oh, it's cute. But if you don't like them or don't know them that well, it is fucking bizarre and it is weird. And I have had men try to play instruments for me. Once a trombone, if you would believe it. But it is kind of crazy to be like, yeah, I'm going to pull that move, but I'm also going to out myself right now because this song, I didn't write it about you, babe. I wrote it about this other girl with the same number of syllables in her name as you do. And it's like, could we not just have something nice? Could you not just be like, I wrote this for you? Could you not write a new fucking song? Could you not just be original with it? You had to be like, let's recycle. Let's re-gift this song and then admit that you did it. Like, you needed to take that to your grave. What do you mean? If you're gonna make a choice like that, you need to just commit yourself in that moment to never telling another soul that you did that and just be like, yeah, I wrote about you completely. I mean, that sucks. I'm glad that he showed his, you know, truth in that moment because you deserve someone to write you an original, baby. What are we talking? But that is really funny that he just said it out loud and fully admitted it. That makes me think, I'm like, was that like a purposeful thing? Like, is this like a genre of negging where he's like, yeah, I didn't write it about you. I wrote it about my ex and just subbed your name in, because he thinks that that's like, why would you say something like that? I really don't know. I'm trying so hard to get inside the brain to understand, to just dig my way in there. Just worm through his ear and understand the thought process here, but I can't do it. Really weird. And also, I just feel like if you're gonna be the type of guy that's gonna whip out a guitar and play a song, never mind a song about someone else, which then you admit it's about someone else, you can't be all pissed off about the fucking Barbie movie. Shut the fuck up. Oh my God. You can't be like, oh, what the heck is this about? The Barbies don't like it when the Kens sing at them? Because that's the whole thing, right? Is that when somebody's like serenading you and is singing to you and it's from the heart and it's endearing and charming, that's one thing. But when you're just like picking a guitar, like, fucking listen to me, I'm gonna do this sick trick right now. And it's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? I didn't want a private show. It's not for me. You're doing this for you completely. If it was for me, you'd be doing something romantic to try to like woo me and impress me. But instead, you told me that this was about some other bitch and then sang at me for 30 minutes. Like, I don't, what's not clicking, babes? So it's like, you can't do all that and then be like upset at the Barbie movie. you know? Like, I feel like if you're gonna be a real douche about those things, you need to just commit to it and be like, yeah, I'm a fucking douche. This is my thing about people like that, where I'm like, you need to commit one way or the other. You need to just embrace that this is what you're doing and that's like the vibe you're giving off, or not. But you can't be behaving like that and then be like, what the heck? That's not douchey or weird. Why the heck would they make that joke in the Barbie movie? When it's like, come on. Come on. Let's just admit it. Let's just call it what it is. Let's call a spade, baby. We can't be pretending these things are not what they are, you know? I would respect you more if you were self-aware of the fact that it is like a douche move to make you sit there and listen to a love song that's not about you. That you know is not about you. I don't know. Love is dead to those people. And you know what? Great. I'm so glad that love was shot dead on arrival with those people, because that's not the kind of love that I want. If I was dating someone, like, thank God it seems like you don't really like him, because if I was dating someone and I was developing feelings for them and they were like, let me sing for you, and then they were like, I wrote it about my ex, I just subbed your name in, I would be sitting there with my jaw on the floor. I'd be like, excuse me? Like, could life get any worse? Like, could I not have one thing? It's just like a very look at the camera moment, you know? Why would you say such a thing out loud? And I can't. So, you know, I don't know that you need any strength being submitted through the screen to break up with him, because I think it sounds, based on the way you wrote this, that you've already got that strength. He's a little goofy. He's for sure a little goofy. And I think that you deserve the original song. The DCOM original, as they say. Or no, they don't say that, because the O in DCOM is original. Anyways. Hi, Maddie. I'm in my last year of college and I go to a very small school. I don't drink and I don't like loud social environments, and most of my friends are supportive of this and don't mind spending more one-on-one sober time with me. I have one friend who does, however, like to drink and party in her spare time. She's usually pretty enthusiastic about still having study nights with me or getting dinner together in order to spend some time together, but lately I felt like she sees spending time with me as a boring chore. For example, about a month ago, she texted and canceled plans to watch a movie with me, saying she had a very busy day and was just too tired. I'm an introvert and totally understand that, so I was very sympathetic and didn't mind at all. But she later sent me a picture from what I recognized as another one of her friend's apartments, meaning she canceled on me and went to another friend's place. She never mentioned it again, so I tried to act like nothing was wrong and that it didn't hurt me. Our friendship repaired itself, and I began feeling less hurt and more secure, figuring it was just a misunderstanding. But now, a few days ago, she once again texted to cancel plans for a chill study/chatty date with me, saying she had a busy day and just needed a chill night. She followed up the initial cancellation by saying she was sorry for being so tired, but that she still values our friendship and time together so much. Although I was way more wary this time, I was still understanding and told her it was fine. I have since found out, remember it's a small school, that that chill night she ended up having included going to more friends' apartments and ending up at a local bar's themed night. She doesn't know I know about either of these times, but both have really hurt my feelings. I feel childish to be so hurt over it, but I feel like she's canceling plans with me just to go hang out with other people she likes more. I wish she would just not make plans with me in the first place if she doesn't want to see me anymore. I'm not very good at confrontation, and I'm not even sure if I should confront her or what I should do in this situation. Do I keep her as a friend, cut ties? She used to be such an important person in my life. Am I overreacting? Please help. Well, first of all, let me start off by saying that I'm so sorry. That's like a really tough position to be put in, where it's like you're trying to find something that works for the both of you. Obviously, like, friendships go in and out of season with each other, and sometimes you'll be in a season with a certain friendship where you spend a ton of time together and your interests are really overlapping, your schedules are really overlapping, and sometimes you'll move out of season with people. And sometimes during that off season, that means you don't speak a ton. And sometimes during that off season, you still are speaking a ton and, you know, making plans with each other, but that you have to be more intentional to find where the overlaps are. And I think that's awesome that you guys were dedicated to finding where those overlaps were, having a study night together, having a movie night together, finding the things that you could do together that you both enjoyed while, you know, you're both at the stage of life that you're at. She's in her party girl era. You are not. And I'm very similar to you in that I rarely, if ever, get upset about canceled plans. I am someone who, as long as you're not routinely canceling on me last minute, then I'm never going to have an issue with canceled plans. Life pops up, things happen, like we'll reschedule, it's not a big deal. As long as you give me a reasonable amount of time to find a new plan for myself, whether that is hanging out with other people or committing myself to a night at home, I'm not going to give a shit. Unless it's like you're always doing it, and then I'm going to give a shit. But, you know, in general, I'm not someone that's going to mind if people need to cancel. Life happens. Sometimes you need a night in, for sure. Take that night in, bestie. That's what I need to be doing right now. Take your ICU time. You get in that introvert care unit and you strap yourself to the couch and you don't leave, okay? If you need to cancel plans with me to be alone, please, I encourage it because I get it and I've been there. What would hurt me is the lying. What would hurt me is like you telling me that you needed to cancel to have a night alone, me being understanding and being like, yeah, absolutely, of course. And then seeing you out partying, being like, well, why the fuck did you lie? If you got invited to a cool event, a fun party that you wanted to go to, and it happened to be on the same night as our plans, I would much rather you tell me, being like, hey, I got invited to this really cool themed party tonight. Can we reschedule our movie to this day instead? And I would be receptive to that because I want my friends to do what they want to do and to have a good time and to go to these one-off events. Again, if it was a pattern, it would probably start to upset me. But, you know, things happen. Themed party at a bar. Do you mind if we reschedule? I really want to go. Absolutely. Go. Have a great time. That sounds awesome. Sounds like right up your alley. Like, what would bother me is the lying. Why are you lying to me? Why are you telling me that you need to have alone time and you can't hang out with me and then you're going off and hanging out with other people? It's fine if you would rather go and party tonight, but at least be honest about it, because I think it's the lying that ends up making you feel slighted. It's the lying and the fact that it's happened more than once, because now it's like, okay, is this just what we do now? We just lie and we cancel plans with me to go off and do other things. Why make plans with me at all? It's hard not to take it that way, when in reality it's like, maybe they didn't mean to hurt your feelings and they're just being careless with how they're going about things. And in their head, they're like afraid to cancel plans. And so they think that it's better to lie and say it's for alone time rather than being like, hey, I would actually rather be at the bar tonight because there's a cool thing happening. There's a themed night and I really want to be there. I don't know. I think it's always easier to be like upfront and honest about things. But again, when it becomes a pattern is when it becomes a problem also, because if somebody that I was friends with and, you know, they were constantly canceling plans on me and constantly being like, oh, there's a night at a bar that I really want to go to. And it was always that. And it was like the bar was always more important than me. It wasn't just like a special night. It was like, when the bar presents an offer on the same night that we have plans, the bar always wins. That would upset me. For sure it would. You want to feel like you're in friendships with people who value your time and putting time into the friendship together. Like, you don't stay friends with people and have super close friendships with people without putting in effort. These relationships take work and investment from both people. And if there is one person that's like, yeah, let's have a movie night, let's have a study night, and the other person goes along with it till the last minute and then bails every time, that sucks. And there's like only so much that you can do about it, because these are choices that they're making. And I think that it's worth calling out and just saying like, hey, I really love you. I love our friendship. I love spending time with you. It's really hurt my feelings that we have made plans a few times recently and you have canceled on them, which is totally fine. But then I see you out with other people when you told me you were canceling because you needed alone time. I don't know what to think when I see things like that. And it just hurts my feelings that you number one, don't feel like you can be honest with me. And number two, it just makes me feel like you don't value our friendship in the same way that I value our friendship. I think it is worth having a conversation about it. I don't think it has to be like a big confrontation or feel like a big call out, but rather just a moment for you to share that your feelings have been hurt and then call your friend in to talk about, you know, why they have not been honest and why they're not doing a great time at, you know, managing their time and putting time into friendships right now. The second thing that I'll say, though, is that I also think that sometimes it is okay to step away from a friendship and put less time into a friendship and be like, okay, clearly we're on different pages right now. They are prioritizing this. I'm prioritizing this. I've tried to meet in the middle and make plans and I'm putting this effort. They keep canceling. So I'm going to take a step back, give this friendship some breathing room, and we'll see what happens. And sometimes that's all it takes. Sometimes that's all it needs. You just put a little space between you, spend a little time apart, focusing on other friendships, other things, and then you guys will reunite and things will blow over and everything will be fine. I think that sometimes, again, we just fall out of season with people and that's totally fine. And sometimes we just need a little breathing room to get back on track here. You've put in the amount of effort that is appropriate to this point. Past this point, I think it's kind of on them to like make a plan and stick to it if they're the one that keeps canceling. So I think it's probably worth a conversation. And I also think it's probably worth putting some space and just letting it play out rather than like committing yourself to trying to get this person to be on the same page as you. Because at some point it just becomes exhausting trying to, I don't know, solidify plans with someone who clearly has their priorities in a very different place. Hello, Maddie. I know you're not really on TikTok, but this person came across my For You page and posed an interesting question, or I guess an opinion that I thought you could weigh in on. They said that they wouldn't want to date someone whose platonic relationships were not as or more important than they were. I personally agree, but I'd love to hear your thoughts. Do you need / want to be the most important source of love in your romantic partner's life? Absolutely not. I also feel like that's kind of a nasty thing to ask of a partner. I don't know. I don't want to be competing with the other people my partner loves the same way I don't want them to feel like they're competing with the other people that I love. The thing is that there isn't a competition. There's no world where like love is there's like a limit to it, or like a limit to the amount of people we're allowed to love and to what intensity. Like, I don't know. Clearly I'm the type of person that believes that platonic love and friendship and family and community are all like really important things. And I am staunchly against the belief that romantic love is the most important form of love. I believe that love is abundant and it comes in so many different forms throughout this life. And there are so many different kinds of love and connection that can feel really profound and life-changing to us that are not romantic partners. So that's number one. And number two, I think like in my own life, when I think of my best friend in the world, talk about her all the time. She was a guest on last week's episode, Ashley. Ashley is my best friend in the whole world. When I am in a relationship, my partner is not competing with Ashley. Number one, I'm not ranking them against each other, but if we were, guess who's no me longer, bitch? I'm kidding. I'm joking. Like, of course, if I was in a long-term committed relationship with someone, they're going to be neck and neck. They're going to be tied, right? If I'm dating someone for like 3 months, yeah, I'm picking Ashley over the fucking boyfriend for sure. Come on. You don't enter the ring on day one up neck and neck with the best of them. But like in an ideal world, my best friend and my partner are like sitting right side by side next to each other in terms of like importance in my life and how you know, how much of an impact they have on me. In my world, it's like, these are the most important people in my life. I've got Ashley, I've got my partner, I've got my sister, I've got my parents. Like, I can't possibly make these people compete with each other and be like, oh, and now I'm gonna rank you. When I am in a relationship, my partner is not competing with my best friend. The same way my best friend is not competing with my sister, is not competing with my parents, is not competing with my grandparents. Like, the people that I love are not competing for rankings in my life. Obviously, you can't be like the closest with every person in your life. But when I'm looking at the people that I am the closest with, my like tier one of people that I spend the most of my time with, that I have the deepest connections with, when I'm looking around at the people that are like in my like cabinet of high tier relationships in my life, none of those people are competing with each other. That feels insane to me to do that to the people that you love, to be like, yeah, my sister is competing with my partner, is competing with my best friend, is competing with my mom. Like, these are all people that fill such specific, special, irreplaceable positions in my life. None of them could fulfill the position of the other. I would feel the lack of each one of them if they were not around. They're not competing with each other. So no, I don't need my partner to look at me as being the most important love in their life, because I want them to have multiple great loves in their life. I want them to have great friendships. I want them to have close familial relationships. I want them to have a village of people that make them feel loved and held and supported. Because the reality is that your partner cannot and should not be your everything. One person cannot fulfill every role. It takes a fucking village, and it should. So I'm not looking to compete with my partner's best friends or their parents, their siblings. I am able to recognize that we can all hold very important positions, and we don't need to be like fighting to be the number one. We're all in the number one. We're all very important to this person. Like, I don't need to deny my partner other forms of love because I need to be told I'm the most important. That feels so selfish. I want my partner to be like overflowing with love in their lives and to have the utmost amount of support from the people around them. And no, I don't think that romantic love is the most important form of love. It is important. It can feel important and profound and incredible, but so can platonic love. It feels so silly to me to be like, we're romantic partners, so therefore everything else is to the wayside and nothing else could ever be as important to me as this. I'm like, I'm sorry. I've been friends with Ashley since I was 7 fucking years old. That bitch has known me in every season and time of my life. That's a kind of relationship that my partner is never going to be able to know, right? And then with my sister, having grown up together, living under the same roof with the same parents, the same childhood experiences, really going through and growing up together. That's another experience that, listen, you can't compare to that. That's my fucking sister. And if I'm in a relationship with someone and I'm working on building a long-term partnership there, obviously that's going to start to have some special intricacies of its own, right? But none of these people are competing with each other. And it's so weird to try to make them. You're all equally as important to me. You're all standing side by side holding hands, okay? You're on a team. You're on a team together. And that's how it should be. It is important to me that my partners have like rich, lives full of love, because I believe that's what they deserve. So yeah, it is important to me that I date someone who values platonic relationships and community in the same way that I do, because I want them to experience all that love. I can't fulfill every position in their life. You know, I can't check every single box. It takes a village. I can't be everything to you, and you can't be everything to me. And we can love each other fully and completely and be so invested in each other's lives without having to compete with the other people in our lives. Like, we can all do ring around the fucking rosy together, okay? We're holding hands. We're frolicking through a field.
We're all very important. Where there's no need for competition there.
Am I the asshole? I was dating this guy for a few weeks and it was super casual. We had gone out on a few dates, made out a little, and overall I was having a really good time. On our most recent date, number 4 to be exact, we went to a coffee shop, which I thought would be cute. Well, I guess the coffee triggered the conversation about uncontrollable poop, and he proceeded to tell me in graphic detail how he shit himself on a New York City bus once. I was literally so appalled about how detailed he was. Sounds, noises, smells, everything. Hold on. Oh my god, I just made myself fucking woozy. I just wheezed just there. Hold on. I was literally so appalled about how detailed he was. Sounds, noises, smells, everything. The way it's written here, I read that and like absorbed it into my brain as he somehow showed you what it smelled like. He was so detailed. He was making noises, sounds. He generated some smells in real time for me. Everything. After that date, I haven't responded to any of his messages and have started to slowly ghost. I just don't understand on what planet that's a first few dates type of conversation. Am I being childish or is that just fucking weird? I mean, listen, it is what it is. I don't think it's weird that you are weirded out by this. It's a really weird conversation to have on the first few dates. The thing is that like, with the right person for him, it would have been fine. With the right person, it would have worked out. You're clearly not the right person for him, so you got icked out. Like, I think it's fine that you're icked out completely because it is definitely a weird conversation. But also, with the right person, it would have been just a wonderful door open into his most vulnerable self, probably. I mean, that's wild, though. It's hard to imagine why someone would want to talk about that on a date in graphic detail. And there's part of me that's like, was he self-sabotaging on purpose? But like, has he, so you're slowly ghosting right now. My question is, has he reached out to you during this time of slowly ghosting? Oh, okay. Well, yes, you already said that. I can't read. I'm actually illiterate. After that day, they haven't responded to any of his messages. Okay. So it seems like it wasn't a self-sabotage, because I feel like if it was an intentional self-sabotage, he just wouldn't have messaged you. But he seems to be messaging you like normal following this date, like expecting a fifth post getting into the New York City bus shitting your pants moment. The great one. We've all heard of it. It's in history books. Why would you bring that up? Like, why would you bring that up? It's one thing to bring it up, and it's another thing to like get into it and be like graphic about it. Cause I get like sometimes things slip out and you're just like, God damn it, why did I say that? But then it's already out and it's too late. But to say it and to have several moments where you could have been like, I should rein it in. I should like leave that part out. I should just like, this is a horrible thing that happened to me that I endured one time. Yeah, I don't know what he was thinking. If that ever happened to me, you would have to like waterboard that out of me. Like, I was ready to take the dermatologist story to my grave, bitch. I was ready to not tell a single soul about that. The fact that I like ripped the band-aid off with that one and have now told thousands of people in the span of 1 month, 30 days ago, nobody knew that story. 30 days ago, I was taking that to my grave. If the dermatologist story was enough for me to take to my grave, like, yeah, if I shit myself on a New York City bus, you wouldn't fucking hear from me, bitch. I would be fleeing the state, getting a new name. Like, you'd never hear from me again. I don't know how else to put it. I would never tell a single soul that happened. And if anyone witnessed it happen, I'd have to commit homicide. Like, I actually don't think that there's any world where I would admit that. All right, let's wrap it up here. You know, it's kind of funny that that was the last submission of the day, because today is the Boston Marathon when I'm recording this. I'm recording on Monday, April 15th. And my mom just ran her 18th Boston Marathon. Everybody say, woo!
congratulations, and Michelle. You know who else ran the Boston Marathon today was Davis Clark, who is, you know, LinkedIn's final boss that we're a huge fan of. Davis Clark ran the Boston Marathon today, and he posted, Ashley just texted me about this. I guess he posted a reel where he was like at the finish line. I'll just let it, why am I speaking for him? I'll just let him talk.
Gave it out to you, everything I have for the people. 256, I shit my pants like crazy. I'm going after it all day, every day for the people. 2 hours, 56 minutes, man, people.
Okay, and the best part about this reel is that he shows his legs, what they look like in this video. And I mean, I can only describe what I see as blood and shit being absolutely just streaming down this man's legs, which if you've ever been to a marathon in general, you've definitely observed this. It's a very strenuous thing to put your body through. I went to the marathon. The start of the Boston Marathon is in my hometown, and my mom, of course, ran for most of my life. So I have been an observer of the marathon through my whole life, and it is a lot that these people are putting themselves through. So when you stand there and you watch the runners for long enough, you see a lot of people that have clearly, shit themselves, pissed themselves, blood is running down their legs, their nipples are bleeding. Every bodily fluid is on the fucking track at a marathon, okay? But I just needed to bring this up because I think that is like one of the rawest and coolest things I've ever seen someone post on social media. It's one thing to like run a marathon, shit yourself in front of all of the people watching the marathon, which I think most people, if you're spectating a marathon, you probably know that like things get crazy out there. These people are doing things that I couldn't imagine doing. So like no judgment, right? Respect completely. It's another thing to then get on the internet and like document that moment forever and be like, yeah, I just shit my pants like crazy, showing your legs and the shit and blood running down them. That's iconic. That's like a level of being real on social that I have not seen in a long time. This man is fucking doing something different. I like him. He's so fucking likable. Like everything he does, I'm like, oh my God. I have nothing in common with this man. Like literally nothing. We overlap in no departments. And I'm rooting for him. And I love that he posted that. That is so fucking real. He was so real for that. Oh my God. Anyways, shout out Davis Clark. You're the fucking man. And congratulations on finishing the Boston Marathon, because that is a huge fucking accomplishment. Hats off to you. Fedora's off, really. I actually could never run a marathon. I would pass away before I did it. I would pass away if I tried. And I would pass away before I even crossed the start line, okay? I just shouldn't do it. It's not what I was personally built for. I was built for bacon, egg, and cheeses. Okay, I need to go home. I am home. I need to go back to the ICU, the introvert care unit, okay? I need to spend some serious alone time. So I'm going to go do that. Thank you guys so much for listening, and I will see you in next week's episode.
Okay, it's your truth or dare.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.